777 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today. 1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Tom Petty. There's a reason for this. Does he sing at some point?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So pretty long intro, isn't it? But
did you sing like today? He always reminds me of a guy who's trying to sound like Bob Dylan or something, doesn't he? A little bit.
He sounded a lot like Bob Dylan, I think. And he was in the Traveling Wilburys with Bob Dylan.
Right. Now, Scott Sherman's here, and it is the hour for Scott Sherman. But he wanted to share something with us about Tom Petty. Before he does that, let me give you the numbers. If you have a legal question, if you want to know if you can sue your neighbor or how you can keep your wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, or husband, soon-to-be ex-husband, from getting the kids, or somebody got a DWI, or this guy's tree, he's got branches falling in my yard, but the roots and the base of it are in his yard. Any of that stuff, wills, estates, whatever. Here are the numbers. It's actually just the number. Same number for everything. 855-282-8255. It's like a little song. 855-282-8255. You call that number now, and in mere moments, Scott Sherman will be answering your questions and helping you with whatever it is that's bugging you. 855-282-8255. I like that better than the talk thing, but if it's easier for you, we can go 855-282-TALK. What did you want to say about Tom Petty?
I was listening to the Burke segment in hour one, and Trevor played the sing-along at the University of Florida for their football game in Gainesville, Florida.
Right.
Not only the reason that they sang that song, this is a great song, Tom Petty from Gainesville, Florida, born and raised, so he was a hometown guy to that school's city. Right. And not only that, music fans, but Don Felder, who was in the Eagles, he was one of the original guitarists of the Eagles. You know him from the duel with Joe Walsh on Hotel California,
right,
was one of Tom Petty's first guitar teachers, taught Tom Petty how to play the guitar, also from Gainesville, Florida. That is the connection between Gainesville and Tom Petty. And my favorite band, the Eagles.
Wow. Now you know. Now before we get to the
call.
And
that song, American Girl, was the very last song Tom Petty ever played in public.
Listen to you. Listen to you, Mr. Bass Player.
That was the last song he played at the Hollywood Bowl.
Member of a band, of the Seventh Saturn Band.
Yeah, Seventh Planet.
What's it called?
Seventh Planet.
All right.
And then Florida was so inspired by that performance that they blew the game and got beat at home by LSU.
Now, we're going to get to your call. Well, here's the number one more time. I have one quick comment. Then we're going to get Scott Sherman and your calls. 855-282-TALK, 855-282-8255. Maybe one day this week we'll take some calls and kick around this whole ridiculous NFL thing to me. I don't understand at all, but I'm not a sports player. This is a sports station. I flat out don't get it. I don't get how this got to be from Kaepernick to as big a deal as it was. And here's the other thing I don't remember. All these other guys now taking the knee. Are you wimps telling me that you didn't have the balls to do this on your own? You had to wait for somebody else to do it. And then now all of a sudden you decide, I don't like our country either. I don't like what's going on. I'm going to take a knee. You copycats. I don't get any of it. And here's what I really don't get. Why are we paying so much attention to this? If this guy, this one first guy, had taken the knee and nobody made any big deal out of it and he didn't get a lot of attention, all this other crap wouldn't be happening. As far as Pence walking out, if these other people have the right to do what they want to do, he has the right to get up and walk out too. What's the difference? There's no difference. Yet they're slamming and criticizing the guy for getting up and walking out. It's the same thing.
Well, it's because Trump told him to. Trump told him to walk out.
Well, he's doing what his boss told him.
Right.
And you have the right to do what your boss asks or not, and you have the right to sit there or leave. I don't get it. We're not going to talk about that now. We're going to talk about your problems with Scott Sherman. Mm-hmm. But I just had to say, the whole thing is so ridiculous to me. It doesn't matter to me if one guy takes in the year 10 or 20. But I will tell you this. When I see people who are doing something as a sort of a display of protest, you better be able to tell me what it is you're actually protesting, or I'm not going to go to the game either, and I'm not going to pay to watch the game, and I'm going to buy your stuff. And I'll bet you 9 out of 10 of these people have no idea why they're even doing what they're doing. If you got them alone in a room without anybody else that says, what is it you're actually protesting? Well, they couldn't tell you.
What I find interesting is that the NFL would not let them honor the 9/11.
No, I have a whole list of things in front of me that the NFL wouldn't let people do.
Yeah. Number 40 for Tillman and the Dallas police officers.
Brother.
And so many things. Dancing in the end zone after a touchdown. But this is okay.
Now, the NFL is so used to doing whatever they want to do. And here's what did it for me, and then we'll let it go, and I'll give the numbers again, and we'll get to your calls. When I found out they were charging the military to honor the wounded soldiers, military people, that did it for me. They were getting paid to do that. And it wasn't until somebody called them out on it that they stopped doing it. All right, here we go. Scott Sherman's here. You got a issue, a problem, 855-282-8255. First up would be Larry. Larry, say hi to Scott Sherman.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Everybody else, afternoon and a.m. into p.m.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry. So what do you got?
I got a simple question. We're getting bids on a roof, and it's a pretty substantial roof. So far, I've got 5 bids. I got one from a young man. I don't believe he actually works for a company. He's doing it on the side. He gave me a bit of all the shingles and all the parts he needs, nails and all that. But he didn't give me a final cost on his side of it, you know, labor. And since he's not really a business, do I need to carry, like, insurance in case workman's comp or anything like that?
Great question. The answer is you better be careful, yes. When somebody like this is not licensed and insured, really the insured is the most important part for you. Whether licensed or not doesn't really matter to you. But if somebody gets hurt, one of his or his contractors, his subs, his employees, they're going to come looking at you and your homeowner's policy if he doesn't have it. So I'm all for entrepreneurs, especially young people trying to get going in this world. I have a lot of respect for them, but they have to take care of what is a problem here, a glaring loose end, which is what happens if somebody falls off your roof or burns down your house or something else like that, who's going to pay?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about it, because I was telling my wife, I was kind of worried, because if he doesn't have any workman's comp, and he has a couple guys up there tearing out the shingles, and one slips and hits the ground, I mean,
how did you find this just one guy who's going to be a bunch of friends? How'd you find this guy?
A friend of mine, he owns a motorcycle shop, does all my work on the motorcycles. And he called this guy up, and apparently this guy does work for a roofing outfit, but he does side work, too.
Yeah, what if his boss knows he does work on the side?
Apparently he does. He doesn't have a problem as long as it doesn't affect the jobs he does, you know.
So, I'd be looking at two things. One, work comp for his injured employees. Two, liability insurance for the damage he causes to you and the people that come onto your property. I'd actually be more interested in two than one, but he's got to produce both or he can't have your business.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking, too. Now, through the workman's comp, I got to go through the state on that, wouldn't I? I can't go through my homeowner's, the one that carries my homeowner's insurance, can I?
Well, that's the injured employee's problem, not your problem. So if some kid that he hires falls off your roof and you didn't do anything wrong, you're not liable for that. But they'd be looking to the contractor, the roofing kid, to see if he covers that. But keep yourself out of this mess. you can make an unforced error here by trying to save a few bucks. And maybe you can use his bid as a way to get the, assuming he's not insured, the other insured businesses to bring the price down a little. Again, I'm not against young people trying to make a living or middle-aged people trying to make a living, but you have to protect, and you have to protect yourself. It's like boxing. Protect yourself.
Larry.
Cover your behind.
Larry, can I just make a suggestion or give you my thought real quickly? Something stinks here. There's something not right here. If I had a guy who worked for me, and I'm in the roofing, and you said that he told you his boss is okay with this, I don't. There's something wrong here. If I'm in a roofing company and you work for me, and you came to me and said, "Hey, if it's all right with you, I'd like to put on some roofs and not let it go through our company, just me," I'd go, "No, no, you're not gonna. Are you kidding me? You're not gonna do that."
Yeah,
this guy's not.
Yeah.
There's something wrong here. I don't think this guy's telling the truth. I don't think his boss is okay with it. Did you call his boss?
No, I did not. You know, we just take his bids, you know, because they can't do the work.
Do you know who he works for? Who his boss is?
No, we don't. But I
so you don't even know if he really works for a roofing company.
Yeah, he does. He does. The wife says so.
Well, does the wife know the name of the company?
Does the wife know the name of the company? No, she's shaking her head.
Well, he didn't work for anybody. He works for himself, and that's it.
Here's the best
way somebody,
to.
I guarantee he doesn't have their blessing. Go
get
ahead.
Someone else. That sounds like the best way.
No kidding.
I agree.
Yeah. So was this your, once again, this was your wife's idea, right?
Well, no, to get the roof done, but we did some work on her motorcycle, and this guy that does our work, he gave us this guy. Of course, he calls him, "Hey, I got some work for you. You can spend more money on your motorcycle." So.
Well, you know what? In the long run, though, if you go with a reputable company that actually has all the insurance and everything in place, and you pay a little more, you're actually going to be probably where you would be if you hired this guy and ended up getting an insurance policy or taking something.
Here's the other thing, Larry.
Bad, and I'd probably end up sleeping better.
Your wife is sitting right there, so you can't really say,
no,
this was her lame brain idea to hire this guy. But it was, and gentlemen who are listening, thinking about getting married, look right now at the situation Larry finds himself in, sitting with his wife, having to not be able to say this was her idea. Larry, good luck. I'm with Scott. Get somebody else to do it, okay?
Larry, the best part of the story is you guys both ride motorcycles together. That's enough of a good relationship between two people and motorcycles that your marriage will survive. Get somebody else.
20 some odd years so far. Some odd. I don't remember.
No, odd's a good word. Odd's a good word. Thank you. Thank you, Larry.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Now, 855-282-TALK or 855-282-8255. According to Dan, the name of this next caller is MIKW. That's an interesting name. Mikwa. How are you?
I guess he accidentally. My name's Mike.
Oh,
the W's next to the E.
What do you know, Mike? Hello. Mike, what can we do for you? How can Scott? First of all, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Mr. Sherman. How are you today,
sir? Oh, Mike, call me Scott, but I'm doing great.
Okay, Scott. Good, and AM and the PM, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. I'll give you my 30-second elevator pitch on this one. I got involved in an accident with a truck. Truck hit me. I went through physical labor, or not physical labor, but physical therapy. And I think we're going to start getting going on getting the paperwork ready to do the lawsuit. I've got a personal injury lawyer involved. And but the problem I'm having is that the one of the companies I work for will not accept an income loss form. And I've hassled back and forth with them, and they've stonewalled me for about 6 weeks on this whole thing. And what's your best advice for me to do next?
Mike, great set of facts, great question. I want to be a little careful because you already have counsel, but let's take it in general. let's say in general somebody has the exact same set of facts as you do, and one of their employers will not turn over the lost wage information, which is part of your claim here. You've got injuries, you've got medical bills, you went to physical therapy, you've got some permanency of some sort, and the trucking company's on the hook for this. It sounds about right. It doesn't sound like you're going to court yet. It sounds like what's called a demand package or demand is being put together. That's a pre-lawsuit attempt at settlement, and about 80% of cases end this way, and they end oftentimes very nicely. Sometimes they end awful. But when this case would be sent to actual litigation, your employer would have a subpoena. Hey, you have to give us this stuff, so says the order of the court. And if you don't, we're going to haul you in either to a deposition or we're going to haul you into court and explain why you're not giving this up. So at this stage, what you probably have is an authorization you've signed. Your lawyer, their law firm, has sent a request to the employer. They haven't exactly answered it yet, but they owe this to you. This is your information, whether it's your medical records or your lost wage information. That belongs to you. So either they're going to do it the nice, easy way, or your lawyer is going to make waves, or at some point, if they don't give it up, a judge is going to order them to do that. So I would not worry too much at this stage that they haven't done it or they're stonewalling. They're going to lose. So I would let your lawyer know you're having a tough time getting them to turn this over, and let your lawyer do that. They're earning their fee by putting all the pieces of the puzzle together for your case. That's their job, but it's your job to communicate that to that firm. So right now it didn't seem like a big problem, but it's got to be annoying and aggravating. Let your lawyer be nasty, and you just communicate that, okay?
Right, but I just wanted to get somewhat of a ballpark figure on how much wages I actually lost during this 4 months that this whole thing took.
Well, you could probably,
I had this accident back in June.
If you work hourly or salaried, are you commission?
Pretty much commission, because they give you a fee for doing a certain job.
Right. You can probably give yourself a ballpark figure, but that actual calculation of what it is that you've lost has to come from their HR department. It's got to come from their accounting department. And if they won't give the piece of paper, then that's fishy. And if they can't give you the actual number to take to your lawyers, then that's something that your lawyers are going to have to decide. Are they going to subpoena them? Are they going to take their deposition before the lawsuit's filed? That can happen. Or does this thing have to actually go to court? This has to be volleyed back with your best information back to the law firm you've retained. That's what you have to do. Okay?
Okay, so just fill out the form as best I can, and let the lawyer do the voodoo that they do best.
Sounds right to me. That's what I think you need to do.
Very good.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, Mike, thank you. Now, this is an unusual day. If you're listening and you're a regular listener, you go, I thought Thursday was the day for Scott Sherman. It is. But what happened Thursday was Charter had whatever issue was. I'm not technical. I don't know. We lost all our phones. Scott couldn't take one call. He was here, but he couldn't take a call. So we're making up for it today. So 855-282-TALK or 855-282-8255. Now, we're going to break. John Londoff is going to join us as he does every Monday. Dan, you'll just have to ask John if he would, maybe we'll tighten it up a little because I do want to take another couple calls from Scott Sherman. You can get through right now if you want to call, if you have any legal questions. Folks, you're going to save yourself a lot of money. Do you want to throw $400 or $500 at some lawyer for a half hour or an hour to ask him a couple of questions? Or do you want to ask Scott? And if he doesn't have the answer, he'll know where to send you to get it. He'll give you, we haven't given your email address either.
Nope.
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com. That's Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com. We're going to break. While we break, you call. If you're patient, don't mind waiting a couple of minutes, you can talk to Scott Sherman free. 855-282-TALK. 855-282-8255. This is 590 The Fan. Hit. Almost makes me wish I used a blade again. I hear those Harry's things. I used an electric razor and wouldn't for years, and then I found the perfect one. Before we check in with John Londoff, there is one line open if you'd like to talk to Scott Sherman, and we won't have a lot of time. It'll go by before you know it, and then Thursday is his regular day, but we were blown out. No telephones Thursday. So as soon as we finish speaking with Mr. Londoff, if you want to call him, 855-282-TALK. That's 855-282-TALK. Jump on that line that's open. John, how are you?
Frank, how could I not be doing fantastic when I get to talk to you? Well, what a way to start. What a way to start my week.
That,
seriously.
And the weather. Man, oh, man.
I'm talking about you right now.
No, let's not talk about me. Let's talk about the weather.
Over and talk about the weather.
Let's talk about the weather. The weather's more important to anybody than I am. And I had the greatest day yesterday with my grandson. We had so much fun. We fished. We caught snakes. We caught crickets, grasshoppers. He loves bugs. And that actually
that's
is that's an occupation. You can actually, as an adult, if you still love him, and it's called entomologist.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I know some stuff. I know some stuff.
That's a mouthful.
And if you go, to the zoo or somewhere, or some scientific, they have entomologists, and that's what they study is bugs. I think it's a phase. He'll get over it, and he'll get through it. But we got a frog, and at one time we had four snakes, and they all got away. They were little orange ringneck snakes, they're called. They're small, and they have an orange ring around their neck. And they won't
hurt. What would you want to, you said you had four snakes.
Yes, we caught one by accident. We moved some leaves. I blew some leaves, and he was under the leaves. They like to hide under leaves. And here's this little snake, and it had an orange ring around its neck. So it's a ringneck snake. Now, completely harmless and not very big, 6 inches long or seven, maybe eight. So we put it in his little, he had a little bug case, but it had air holes big enough for him to escape. So every one he caught escaped. He was really sad about it.
Well, look, you have a job to do again next weekend. Go catch some more snakes.
Oh, I'll be on it tonight. We'll be out tonight with flashlights. And last night we did night hunting at my house. He goes, Grumpy, let's go night hunting. So we went night hunting. It was fun.
What does he call you?
Grumpy.
Grumpy?
Yeah, Grumpy and G. That's our names
Grumpy?
Are Grumpy and G. But no, because that's what I am when I wake up, and it lasts for about 2 hours till I fully, no, Grumpy.
There's no way that you're grumpy for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Let me tell you, here's what happens. And you'll see, John, when one of your boys
I wake up happy.
Has a child, here's what will happen.
Wait.
You will have forgotten how funny they are and how much fun they are. We were sitting out in the driveway with flashlights, and he shined it on the roof, and he says, Grumpy, I just saw an iguana. I just saw an iguana on the roof of the house. I said, really? He goes, yes, an iguana. And you
That's
just kind of go along with it. I go, wow. I didn't know that we had him here. He goes, no, I saw it. And then he comes back. He goes around the house. He says, Grumpy, I saw a grasshopper. It was a foot long. And I said, wow. He said, there are seven of them. And they're
wow,
all.
That's
yeah,
great.
This kid's got some imagination. But it's hilarious. I can't wait for the stories you have when you...
Well, I'll have plenty. I can't wait either. But Grumpy, let's talk about... we've been very busy here at Jenny Lone Up Chevrolet, Grumps.
Good.
And let's say hi to Kenneth and Anna Wappler.
Wappler.
W-A-M-P-L-E-R. Kenneth and Anna Wappler.
Wow.
I bought a Chevy Tahoe this weekend. They're A.M. in the P.M.
There you go. A.M. in the P.M. They're A.M. in the P.M.
Drove from DeSoto, and they love... Frank Opinion and the team, and being AM and the PM and the new station. So
now, what are their names? Kenneth and Anna Wappler. Okay, give me a second here. Okay, you want to know where they're selling up a storm? You don't need a Doppler. All you need to do is go and talk to Kenneth and Wappler. I forgot her first name. Doppler, by the way, is a radar term. Selling up
Anna.
A storm.
Yeah.
Selling Anna Wappler. Thank you, Kenneth.
And their salesperson's Nathan Zarafsky.
I won't be able to do much with that, Zarosky. We'll let that go. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Kenneth and Anna.
And then Mark and Terry Thader, T-H-A-T-E-R. Mark and Terry Thader from Union, Missouri, to buy a 2017 Chevy Silverado. So, Mark and Terry, thank you very, very much. They are very AM and the PM, as I'm sure that Kenneth and Anna Wappler are very, very.
You know,
AM and the PM.
Think about putting off that Chevy purchase. Don't wait another day, Durr. Why don't you do
Thader.
I couldn't think of anything to do with Thayer.
It's all right, sorry. Grumpy. None of you can't be. That's a tough one. Perfect.
That's a tough one.
I got one for Zeronsky.
Let's give it, Zeronsky.
Well, they sell a Chevy Traverse, which is named after Traverse City, not far from Petoskey, Michigan, and then purchased at Johnny Long Dive Chevrolet by Mr. Zeronsky.
No, that's horrible. That's what? The worst. That was horrible.
Oh.
Wow. What was that?
Can we put Scott to sleep?
That gave me gas.
Holy.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Fantastic.
John, do you have a legal question while you're here? Do you have anything?
No. No. My dad, all my life, he used to, son, get to know as many attorneys as you can. Make sure they're your friends.
No, he was right.
I'm like, you know, Dad, how about, hey, I got a great idea. Let's just make people really, really happy, which is what we do, and we don't have to worry about it. Then we go sell attorneys' vehicles. We won't have to worry about them sending us something in the mail, except maybe a thank you letter. That's what I love to get from attorneys. And I got a lot of friends that are attorneys. But you have a great segment, and it's just a great, great, great part of the show. Almost as good as this between Frank and I.
That's what we were thinking.
But you know what? Listen, we're having a great day. A lot to do with, I think, a lot of people off, but very, very aggressive pricing at Lawn Duff Chevrolet. A lot of our prices, all of them, are online at lawnduff.com. But give us a call, because we still love people giving us a call. And tell us that you're AM and the PM. Met some more folks this morning that are AM and the PM. And every day there are multiple listeners that come to Johnny Lawn Duff Chevrolet. And we keep them and make them very, very happy. So give us a call, 314-837-1800, or 24/7, 365 at lawnduff.com.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Frank.
They're on their way. Johnny Lawnduff. You know where he is. Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 North County. You can jump in here now and talk to Scott Sherman. We're going to talk to Dave in a second. First, the numbers quickly, 855-282-TALK. That's 855-282-TALK. Dave, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Great, Dave. How are you?
Good, sir. And I have a question. My wife worked for this place. She was not getting paid from these people. She rented a spot there. 5 years ago is when she started. When she started, the guy wanted her to sign a no-compete clause. He drew it up himself, no lawyer. She signed it. After 5 years, now she wants to go out on business for herself in the same town. Is there anything that she needs to be worried about on that?
Frank, you want to try this? We get a lot of these.
This is real common, Dave, in the radio business. And most radio people, and I'm not calling your wife stupid, but most radio people are stupid enough to sign this thing. Especially, does it say that she can't compete for a certain period of time after she's fulfilled the entire 5 years?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I think supposedly he tore it up because she was having some fallout with him, and you know, he was wanting her to sign all these papers, and she said, no, I ain't signing anything. And supposedly he had tore it all up, but it was just, you weren't supposed to compete in the same town as he was.
First of all, you said that she said she's not signing it, so she didn't sign anything.
Well, the first one, then he wanted her to sign something else after that, you know, down the road, you know. It was always something with this guy and you know, work for him for free to make his business better. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that because I don't work for you. I'm just renting a spot from you. You don't pay me. I pay myself. I work and I pay him.
I'm going to turn this over to Scott. Here's my best guess based on what you just said. I wouldn't lose a minute's sleep over anything that has anything to do with this guy because it sounds to me like he doesn't even know what he's doing. Scott, go ahead.
Frank's usually right on these, and he sounds right on this, but I have a few follow-ups. One is, I don't need you to tell me because it's probably a small enough town that it might come out. This kind of renting space happens a lot in the hair salon industry. You don't have to comment. And these non-competes where she's not really working for him, she's not an employee of his, is no more enforceable than it would somebody signing something that says that if they left and rented an apartment from someone, they couldn't rent an apartment within a mile or two of them.
Right.
It's ridiculous. But let's assume that these are enforceable because non-competes can be enforceable. And let's assume it would be enforceable in this case. The problem that the people looking for the non-compete have is always distance and duration. If he says, you can't work in this town, I'm going to run you out of this town, like it's an Old West thing, like Sheriff Dillon or something, that's not enforceable because she has to make a living. And then this is for 5 years. That's not enforceable either. You're looking for about a year and about a mile. If this thing, even if it does exist, even if it wasn't torn up, even if it is enforceable, even if he goes to all the trouble to file this in court, a mile in a year, if it's more than either one of those, it is getting kicked out. So I would tell your wife, honey, don't worry about it. You're going to go in business for yourself. And if it wasn't enforceable, I'd open up right next door to this jerk and put him out of business.
Now, that may be a small town, but we don't know. It's just, well, we have a first name. Is it a hair salon thing?
No, she was a personal trainer in a gym. And they said she has her own clients. She got her clients by herself. And she did not get paid from this man.
No,
you know what? I just rented a spot there.
Yeah, I'm not even an attorney, but I can tell you.
There's nothing to compete with. She's already competing with him. She is an independent contractor who happens to work in that place because she pays rent. The competition is already on and has been on since the moment she started. The non-compete is void. It doesn't mean anything. And she needs to go and do what she's got to do to keep her clients and customers happy and keep going.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have an awesome day.
Hey, before you get away, your wife is a personal trainer, right?
Yes, sir.
So is the reason she did this at a facility because she felt like there'd be more credibility if people came to a gym as opposed to her house or her going to them? Is that why she did it again with?
He made a really good deal to work there, and so they were just starting out, so she started working there, but they're adding more stuff, and it's taking up her floor space where she can't train anymore, and she decided, you know, I want to go out on my own and just make all the money for myself instead of paying him some, so that's why she wants to leave.
Tell her don't be scared of this guy. She got nothing to be scared of.
Yeah. And the key element is these are her customers. These are her clients. So she's free to do whatever she wants with them.
All right.
Okay. We just want to make sure. Thank you so much.
All right, Dave. Thank you. 855-282-TALK. That's 855-282-TALK. I don't know which one of these is easier to remember. I don't like the letters. I don't like when I hear that. Just call 1-800-965-ANIMAL. And sometimes sometimes it's actually more letters, because if you actually called 1-800-985-ANIMAL, if you did it, it would ring after the last four. The others don't matter, but they do it to make it easier to remember. In this case, it's the right amount of numbers. It's 855. People right now are dialing animal, trying to call here. It's 855-282-TALK or 855-282-8255. Back to the haircutting thing, the roofing thing. And to me, anybody who, and I've had this happen, where people have said, I'll do it on the side. My reaction to that is, I would not want you working for me, you scumbag. But because they're using that roofing company or that whatever company to get business for themselves. Now, and we'll go around the room and tell the truth. Have you ever asked somebody who was at your house doing work, hey, can I just call you direct next time and have this done? Have you ever done it?
No, because I run my own business, and I would never want one of my customers or clients to approach one of my employees. I think it's stealing.
I've done it as a test. Limey, have you ever done it?
I've never done it, no.
Tim?
I've done it with Uber drivers.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
In other words, I just call your cell phone, your real cell, not the Uber phone.
Uber drivers cut Uber out of the deal all day long, and they just want you to call them direct so they can give you a ride, and you just pay them cash.
Oh, yeah.
When I lost my driver's license a couple of years ago for about 6 months, I had a guy, and that's how we worked. And then it's funny, when he wasn't available, every time I'd get somebody else, the conversation would come up a lot. I was surprised.
Wow, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. But see, to me, if I asked somebody, goes, yeah, sure, I'll do it on my own. I just automatically, I go, I don't want you now. I don't want you to because you're screwing your.
It was cheaper. It was cheaper for me to do it.
I get what you did and why you did it. For those who missed Thursday's show, what a great story Tim had about four DWIs. We have to break now already. Can we break and come back? How much you got, Limey? How much?
I've got about 3.5 minutes.
And then I got one. So let's take one more call, then we'll break. That's going to be, oh, this time it's spelled right. Mike. Mike, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. How you doing?
Great, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. I'm down in Siesta Key, Florida.
Oh, you're there.
Hey, who was that sent me an email this morning from Siesta Key? Was that you or your wife?
That was me.
Wow.
That was me. I was trying to find your number the other day, and I couldn't find it, so I just left them an email, and you guys have returned the call.
Yeah, do we not have this number on the website, the 855-282-TALK? Surely we do.
You might have, but I'm a senior and I'm lucky I can, do anything on this phone.
You have something. You have but, something. You have something, Scott Sherman.
And I'm also AM and the PM.
Thank you.
I love Siesta Key.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's
never
down in the Gulf Coast of Florida.
Just south of Sarasota.
Yep, right by Sarasota. Not far away from just the best part of Florida for me.
What do you have for Scott?
Well, I just wanted to say hi. I just wanted to make sure you guys know that you're being carried right down here in Siesta Key on 590. Uh-huh. And, I hope you all have good success with the new station. And I've been listening to you for a long, long time, and we'll continue to do it for a long, long time.
Well, we appreciate it, and we hate that you live there and we don't, okay? We're jealous of that. I appreciate that. That's nice. Thank you, Mike.
All righty. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a break. We come back. We'll probably have enough time to work. I hope one in. Mary, hang on. Everybody, hang on. There's a line open, 855-282-TALK. Good Feet Stores. Got a wonderful email that I read last week here from somebody who went into Good Feet. Actually, it was her husband. I guess maybe she talked. Women can talk men into doing things. I don't know if you realize that or not, but they're good at that. They're real good at that because they have that bargaining power, and you know what it is. They can offer you or hold back something, and the next thing you know, you're doing what they want. She wanted her husband to go into Good Feet, and I don't like it when people say, and lo and behold, but I don't know what else to say here, except lo and behold, it was the answer. It was the relief from the pain, and she said he realized it right there in the store, and they were skeptical, as I'm sure most people are. I think most people go into Good Feet stores thinking, yeah, this is going to do it. An insert, an arch support. Well, you won't know until you try it. If you have pain in your feet or foot, leg pain, knee pain, hip pain, back pain, even headaches, many times the solution is just making a slight alteration in the way you stand or walk and the pressure you're putting on certain parts of your feet. It doesn't cost you a thing to find out, and you don't need an appointment. There are two Good Feet stores in the St. Louis area. There is one on Olive, catty cornered across from Friday's, and one in Shiloh, Illinois, Greenmount Road, across from Deerberg. It's the Good Feet stores, goodfeetstlouis.com. All right, now we have more calls than we can get to. You folks, if you'd called a little earlier, you'd have gotten in here, but Mary knew to call. Mary, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Sherman.
Hi, Mary.
I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you. What do you have for Scott?
I want to know, my husband and I made a will out for my two stepchildren and my children to all be divided equally. But now I'm told that we should have a trust so it doesn't go into probate. And I just wanted to know if that was true.
Who told you that?
My sister-in-law.
Does your sister-in-law know your net worth?
No.
Because that really, and Scott, I'll turn it over to Scott, but that really determines whether or not you need a trust is how much you have to leave. Take it, Scott.
Okay. Your sister-in-law, Mary, is correct because all wills still must be probated. And there is there is sort of a misconception that you might not be wealthy enough to have a trust.
And I had that misconception.
It is a misconception, but that's why we do the show, so that people will know that probate drains assets out of estates like nothing else will. And if you can avoid probate through non-probate transfers, such as putting items of value into a trust or having other things that will transfer upon death without the court's involvement. That's a great idea. So if you really need a second opinion on that, go back to either your estate planning lawyer that you used, or if you don't have one or you want to try somebody else, I have people that can do this for you. But she is absolutely right. She's probably not right very often, but she's right about this.
Okay, I do need somebody. So what is your website again?
Email.
Your email address?
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you so much, Scott. I'll be emailing you soon.
Thank you, Mary.
See, I always assume that if they don't repeat it back, that they got it wrong. I just do. Because how many times how long have we done this? 3 years? And every
two.
Time, and when we say, what's the website? What?
I know.
Three times ever?
It's the worst thing that I have done is not have a website. I've got to clean that up.
855-282-TALK. If you call and get in here now, we could probably squeak one more. We had a full bank of calls, and then they all just, boom, disappeared. I guess they figured that the hour was up. Or because Mary called, they couldn't get in. What?
Well, I've got a kind of pointless question about law. But over in England, there is a law called squatter's rights, which is if you find an abandoned house and you live there for a certain period of time, maybe, you know, put a door on there or something like that, you're legally allowed to own that house and live in it. Is there anything like that in America?
I'm going to take a guess.
Yeah.
No.
I think there is.
Tim?
I've actually been hired as a private investigator to bribe people to leave houses who are squatting. I've actually had companies pay me money to go hand a $1,500 check to somebody who's living in a house, and they just want to, they don't have a problem, they have an expense, they just want the person to get out of the house who's living there and not paying the rent, and you know, so they can get the whole thing going. They've actually paid me to go bribe them. They had to pay me my fee.
So Scott,
and then go and pay this guy.
So we do have this.
Not necessarily. Florida has a problem.
What a horrible name, by the way. Squatting. It sounds like you're pooping on the floor. Yeah. Like you've gone in there to just take a dump or something.
Marking your territory.
Squatter.
Which also, before Scott, we just in, like, Tim is also an enforcer, like, in his little private eye business. I think that's kind of cool, mm-hmm. You know? Stuff. Something ever goes down, we've got Tim here.
Right, bribery, mm-hmm. bribery solves a lot of problems.
So how does this work?
It's not necessarily a right in Missouri or Illinois, but you would have to, in some instances, go to court and almost evict these people. My suggestion is that if you have that, you call Tim and have them either bribe them.
Hold on. Let's say there's a house on the market, and it hasn't sold. It's been on the market for a year, and somebody just moves in there. Goldie Hawn did a movie. I've got the name of it. Where she just moved to some guy's house. You can do that?
Not in Missouri. Florida has had problems during the housing crisis where homeless people or bums or whatever just went into a house, and they had problems trying to get them out under this sort of old English common law squatter's rights argument. What ended up happening is you just evict them because they became tenants. They didn't have any rights. They didn't own the property, but you had to go through the trouble of going to court, serving them or putting it on the door and then having the sheriff come and remove them. But you don't get any ownership over the house. Now, the one thing that's close to that we've talked about is adverse possession, where you and a neighbor have a dispute over a piece of adjoining property. And if you mow it and keep the neighbor off of it for 10 years in Missouri or 7 years in Illinois, then you can own that piece of property. But you can't go in and stay in a house for 6 months and say, squatter's rights. They grab them and throw them out. They're trespassing.
So there's no such thing.
In Florida, there is. In Missouri, there is
in
not.
In Florida, what's the deal in Florida?
You go to court and you say, this idiot's in my place. Evict them. The judge signs them. You put it on the door. 30 days later, they have an order.
Why
the
would sheriff you have to give anybody 30 days who's in your house who doesn't belong? Why would they get 30 days?
Because that, actually, if somebody moves, let's say somebody moved, had a rental property or they moved into your place, they didn't pay you. That's the same almost as being a bum. And then they don't pay you. Well, you want to get them out? You have to go to court and notice that up and serve them or put it on the door and then have to go to that court appearance and get the judge to order them out.
And they go 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 30 days, you know what they're going to do? They're going to tear that place apart.
Oftentimes they do.
Any of you people who've ever thought about having rental property, sometimes that works out, I guess, from a tax deduction standpoint. But I tried it once. I will never do it again. I will never rent. I guess you shouldn't say never. I can't imagine in the rest of my life, there's not that much left, but in the rest of it, that I would ever rent a house to anybody. I tried that with a buddy one time. It was a disaster.
I asked my dad the worst stories about people that move in. He fixes the place up. They don't pay. They owe him thousands of dollars. They tear it up. He has to go to court. He never gets a dime out of them. You can't collect them. And you're left starting all over again, like a year later, with a torn-up house that's as bad as worse than it was, and you never got any money from him.
The short version of my story. Friend and I were going to be big real estate tycoons, so we built an inexpensive house at Lake of the Ozarks. It was like $55,000. It's brand new. College kid who was studying to be a doctor from a pretty prominent family in St. Louis, and talked a great game. Well, sir, I'll treat this just like it was my own house, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. Okay. So we gave him 90 days, a three-month lease for the summer in this house. It was supposed to be this guy and a buddy. I made a surprise visit there one day. There were 12 people in this little house. It's not a big house. And there were burns in the carpet. They could not have disrespected the place more. And when I finally got him out, in the basement was every trash bag of garbage over 3 months that they never took out of the house. It was all in the basement. And there were rats and cockroaches. This was a brand new house. And the company I had clean it, after they did, they called me back and they said, we will never clean a house like that again. These morons, this med student, what a nightmare. Oh, my goodness, I'll never forget that. I wanted to vomit when I walked in.
You should have gone to his parents' house first because it might have been trash. He treated it just like his own house, like garbage.
Playhouse is coming up. Thank you, Scott. Scott will do his regular segment Thursday afternoon. This was a makeup for last Thursday because we don't have any telephones. It is 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.